a scene of cleft slabs of grey, overhung on concrete pillars. Upon the pillars, great eyes of obstinacy, in rude antithesis to the ancient forest that flanked them. The eyes were of distressed plastic, an obscene sign in homage to the stream of cars below that vomited in unison across the causeway. Millions of lost souls constantly traversed this desperate junction, yet no life could breach the threshold. It was a ruined road, a dead zone, that consequence had deserted. But there was one who could flourish there, and now he sat mute by one of the eyes, shadowed by the blue and yellow orb. He was dressed in Hempian garb, little more than rags on a bony and swart frame, calloused by concrete and neon. His beady eyes stared with ageless concern at the causeway that far below hummed in uniform low oscillations and twinkled like a thousand glowworms upon forgotten carrion. Upon his lap lay an oblong tray that contained five jewels, one ruby, one sapphire, an emerald, one jade, one agate. Each was shaped like an egg and the size of a child's fist. Within each jewel, there was an imperceptible milky glow so subtle that it seemed to be like a ghost half glimpsed. He picked up the jade between forefinger and thumb and peered into it. Monoclinic structure, vitreous and alluvial pebble, he said. Smiling, he placed the stone back in its tray. Upon the causeway, he spied a change in its flow. A car had stationed itself by a railing, and now two figures emerged. He frowned. They were early. Quickly, he placed the jewels in a circle and crouched within it. The hard concrete bit at his ankles like displaced teeth. From his spittle lips, he began to chant imperceptibly. Diopside, dioptase, hemimorphite, lazulite, orthoclase, and hematite. If he had opened his eyes at that point, he would have seen the two figures looking towards his perch. Sodalite, sphere, moonstone, scapolite, and androdite. Around him, the air thickened like exhaust fumes, and droplets of water hung suspended. Chalcedony, peridot, alamandine, rhodolite, and zircon. He stopped, and then there was silence. Then the droplets fell and clung to his hair, transparent limpets, infinitely delicate treasures. He opened his eyes and saw that the figures were gone. For these I say, for ears to hear, to walk. What myriad thoughts we harbor. as we go our separate days. I did not know this country road. Honeysuckle, heart, and winding tears. My secret soul exists carved out of the oak tree bark, sleeping under hanging mists and all the little rustling things. Here all the dainty weeds are mine, where the cavernous forest deeps and dims. It exists in me. On the floor, halfway down, was a parchment, some sort of pamphlet that had obviously been left there by someone. But the cover was blank, except for concentric veins arranged with studied precision. It was an extract, a mere glimpse. To the touch, it was soft and ageless, a grimoire of no fixed abode. A small amount of tallow dripped carelessly onto its surface, and the page rippled back so that the wax went through its surface and onto the floor beneath. That could be interesting, thought Malarkey. But it's going to be a bugger to pick up, though.